We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business.
Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, the founder of Trade Show Bootcamp, and welcome to Proof to Product. This week, I'm sitting down with TSBC alum Renee Griffith of Hartswell. Renee designs and creates her products using her original hand lettering style. She incorporates patterns and colors, textures inspired by her deep love of the ocean and lush landscape of where she lives in Florida. Renee attended our Paper Camp conference twice, once when she was getting started in her business and a second time after she had revised her line and rebranded her company, a story which she'll share on today's episode. Her products can be found in brick and mortar shops internationally as well as her online shop. Today, we're talking about why she changed her business name, how she scrapped her product line completely and started anew, and the importance of finding your voice within your product and your brand. Hey, Renee, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hi, Katie. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. So let's start at the beginning. Tell me about your career path. How did you get into this world of entrepreneurship and product creation?
So my career path probably started like a lot of other people and has been winding, just like I'm sure a lot of other people in this industry as well.
Oh, yeah.
I went to school for graphic design, and upon graduating, I got a job. Well, I got married right after college. My husband and I moved from Pennsylvania to Phoenix, Arizona. So there I got a marketing and design job in a firm. We lived there for roughly 2 years. I worked there the whole time, working with clients and doing graphic design work. And then...
Was it more like corporate design or was it product design at that point?
It was mostly corporate design. We did a lot of work. Actually, it's funny. Now I live in Florida. I worked with a lot of Florida-based businesses. So I would get up. My schedule was like 7 to 3 instead of 9 to 5 because of the time change. Uh-huh. But it was with like a national home builder. So we would do a lot of their product, you know, their flyers and stuff like that. And then we moved to Baltimore after that. We lived there for around 6 months. And there I worked for a woman doing her own wedding invitations for others. She was a designer. So I helped her design those and assemble them and kind of learned more about the wedding industry. And then we moved down here to Florida, where we live now in West Palm Beach. And I found another part-time job at a marketing agency, and that was when I kind of started doing stuff on my own on the side. I was getting a lot of requests for invitations from friends and family, people having babies, getting married. Mm-hmm. So I opened an Etsy shop, and then for one of my projects, I called this local print shop that did letterpress printing, and after hitting it off with the owner there, he offered me a job like that day, and I started working the next week. Yeah. So it kind of fell into my lap and turned from part-time. Actually, as I was starting there, a paper source opened in the area. And so I started working for Paper Source thinking it would be fun. And, you know, I was new to the area. I wanted to meet people and be in the paper world in some avenue. So I worked both for a while, and then I ended up leaving Paper Source and working for the print shop full time, doing graphic design and then just learning a lot about the print process and particularly letterpress. They're the only local letterpress printer around. So that was a really cool experience. So I learned a lot there about printing.
So as you were working at the letterpress company and Paper Source, you also were building your business more as a side hustle on Etsy. Is that right?
Yeah. So my business at that time was called Perro Paper. It was really just named, one, Perro is the Spanish name for dog, and I have 3 big dogs. So it was really, I needed an Etsy shop name. So that was what I picked. Mm-hmm. But a lot of my products at that point were created, driven by events like pop-up events here and there. Like I had enough of a social media following that, you know, people would contact me saying, oh, do you want to come to our store and have a little pop-up shop? So I would quickly scurry and make 10 new cards. And, you know, it was very based on time and deadline for an event, but it wasn't, you know,
well, and probably whichever, it was also based on the consumer of that type of shop that you were doing the pop-up at too,
right? Yeah. So that kind of led to my cards and my selections being all over the place, really.
But mine were too at the beginning. So if it makes you feel any better.
That's natural, I guess.
It is. You're trying to find your way. It's about finding your aesthetic. And at the beginning of the journey, especially when you're just starting a business, I don't know. I feel like aesthetic and creating a cohesive line is something most brands struggle with at the beginning.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's important to kind of see what you like doing and see what you want the vibe of your business and your brand to be. So it's important to play too, but then to be able to focus.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree. Now, moving into today, like what inspires you when you're creating your work and developing new products?
Well, two things mainly, I would say relationships with people, conversations I have, things I go through in my own life, things my husband and I go through, or, you know, moving, or just things my friends and family have been through. That kind of steers the wording side of my cards and my products. And then, you know, where we've lived really influences the aesthetic of my company. You know, Phoenix had tons of cactus everywhere. That is a huge influence. Here, everything is lush and beautiful and grows so easily. So all the foliage that I have is inspired by here and like the waves and ocean. I'm right near the ocean. So just where I live and nature is a huge inspiration for me.
I love that. I live by the beach too. And it's definitely, it was part of a big part of my stationery brand too. My brand was called Kelp Designs. So,
yeah,
you know,
you can't help but be inspired. It's beautiful. Yeah,
totally. Absolutely. So the first time you came to Paper Camp, your business had a different name. You already mentioned that it had been called Perro Paper and now it's Hartswell. What was the catalyst for changing the name of your business?
Well, truly, I think the biggest catalyst was coming to Paper Camp and having my eyes opened to like, wow, I really don't have a cohesive brand. And at that point, I decided, like while I was at Paper Camp, I talked to Karina specifically and talked to her about maybe rebranding. And she said, you know, you're young enough of a business that you can get away with doing this. You're not so far along that it's, you know, going to be like this massive shift. So that really helped me. And I just felt like keeping Perro Paper really didn't have anything to do with the direction I wanted to go in. So it just didn't make sense to keep that name. I just wanted a fresh start and to begin with something new.
Was it a difficult decision for you to make that jump, or did it feel like it was the right timing and the right situation and circumstances?
Yeah, it really felt like the right thing to do. I think if I kept Perro, it would have been like fitting a square peg in a round hole. Just the direction I wanted to go in just had nothing to do with that. And I wanted to really just kind of launch again as a totally different company.
Yeah. I admire you for that because I know from personal experience that naming a business is really hard. And also thinking about the idea of switching a business name can also be a very challenging thing because you have worked hard to build credibility and build brand recognition and all of that. Do you mind sharing, you know, the process you went through for brainstorming new names and how you came to Hartswell?
Yeah, so I think what I really just started with was, well, between this transitional time, my husband and I watched this TED Talk about finding your why. And I know some of the other alums have spoken about this topic, but it really changed the way I was thinking about my business and what I wanted to focus on. I really honed in on like what I want my, or what is my why, not what I want it to be, but what truly is my why as a person and as a business owner. So I started with thinking, what do I want to say to the world? What do I want my company to reflect? What do I want my life to look like? You know, what message do I want to share with people and have my products share with people? So that was the main focus of like, what do I want this to look like? And then from there, I started thinking, okay, well, you know, what name could go with that? And there were so many that I went through just kind of listing them here and there. I'd wake up in the middle of the night with an idea or, you know, driving, I have an idea. It always comes to you at random times, but you know, it Hartswell just, it's what I obviously came to decide on, but it was a combination of, you know, what I want my voice and my company to be, which is like making people feel very loved and make their heart swell, as cheesy as that is, but like have that moment of like, I feel so loved right now and thought about and cared for. And then the swell portion of that kind of tied into the aesthetic of, you know, ocean swell derived from nature. So yeah, that was that. It just
it feels very fitting. Yeah. Did you bring other people into the decision making process on this? Like, I know for Proof to Product, when I was brainstorming a name for the podcast, my mastermind group was actually very critical in naming this podcast, and it was like a group think exercise. Yeah. And it you know, came out kind of naturally, actually. But when I was trying to brainstorm on my own, I struggled with that. Did you bring other people into this brainstorming process?
Yeah. And I felt the same way too. I would think, oh, this name is so good. And then, you know, have fresh ears on it, and they're like, what? I don't understand what that means.
What does that mean?
Or, you know, one of the names I wanted to use was Stationary Drift, because drifting, oh, like, you know, it was movement and earthy, but stationary, like E-R-Y, not A-R-Y. But I thought that was mm-hmm. kind of like a funny play on words with being stationary and drifting. But mm-hmm. nobody that isn't in this stationary industry like gets that necessarily. So it just fell flat. But I think Heartswell definitely right. is better. But yes, I did talk to a few small business owners that I'm close with in the area and ran a couple names by them, what I had in mind. And of course, my husband is like my biggest cheerleader and helper. And he's always my sounding board for everything. And my parents and sister as well. So they are my helpers. Nice. I didn't hire anybody to help me rename it or anything. So
what about the actual rebranding process? I mean, you are a graphic designer. So did you handle that all yourself? Or I know sometimes it's difficult for creatives to handle their own branding projects because they're so close to it.
Yeah.
But did you handle all of the branding yourself, or did you hire somebody to help with that?
I did. I did it all myself. I didn't hire anybody. Yeah. I just, with my graphic design background, it was something while I was kind of transitioning into Heartswell, I was still working at the print shop. And mm-hmm. at that point, I was close with the owner, and he's a graphic designer as well. So he was kind of giving me pointers here and there. He was like my graphic design friend, you know, that really understands nice. The jargon of everything. So yeah, I had help, and not necessarily design help per se, but lots of people's opinions were definitely.
I think it's a fine line sometimes, right? Like, we want other people's input as we make these big decisions. But at the same time, crowdsourcing or getting yeah. too many opinions can really muddy the waters, at least yeah. in my head when I'm making big decisions. So kudos to you for making that big shift.
How's
well, because it is. It's a big shift to change your business name and reshuffle like that. So, but how did you communicate the name change to your customers?
You know, I decided on a date to, I think a lot of my customers, it's via social media that I'm reaching them. So I decided mm-hmm. on a date to do that. And then I sent out like e-blasts as well to the few retailers that I had, and just explained, you know, just trying to be transparent with them. Like, listen, I'm going in a different direction. I'm a young company. Like, this is what I want it to be yeah. now. I hope we can still work together, but, you know, some people, my wholesalers, some people ordered, some people didn't. I think it just, you know, fit and resonated with some people and didn't continue to fit with the new aesthetic.
Well, and by that you mean like the new cards and the new design style of the cards you were producing?
Yes, yes.
That
yes.
were different from your previous line?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. You know, has changing the name of your business, do you think that's enhanced your confidence as a business owner?
Well, that's a great question. I think it has, in a roundabout way. I feel much more connected to my work, and like it's way more authentic to who I am. The creations I was making through Pero was very based on like what other people might like or tell me to make at pop-ups, or it wasn't as thoughtful as it is now. And I just feel like way more confident with it because it's just me, my colors, my, mm-hmm. you know, it's the same colors I have in my home. It's the same colors I wear. It truly is me out on paper. So I just feel so connected to it. And so like, okay, this is true to who I am. So that makes yeah. me confident in it, that I really believe in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about this product line and the changes you made there. As I mentioned, you know, it's common for a young business that's finding their voice and aesthetic to kind of have a wide range of things that they're producing. But it is, as we've talked about a lot on this podcast with different guests, you know, it is important if you're going to be wholesaling and if you want long-term growth and, you know, sustainability for your company, you do want to have a unique point of view and, you know, a clear, clean, cohesive aesthetic. Right. So what steps did you take to refine your line? Did you lay out all of the cards you had already and kind of decide which to pull? Or did you scrap everything and start anew? Like, what was your process for, you know, making the switch and refining?
Yeah, I pretty much scrapped everything and went in a totally different direction.
Wow, that must have been a little bit scary.
I knew it was right. I hadn't invested. I was doing digital printing. I was doing small runs at the beginning. So it wasn't like I invested like thousands and thousands of dollars on these products. Mm-hmm. So I was okay kind of biting that bullet and totally changing the aesthetic. So one of the things that I really have going for me is that letterpress is very expensive to print. And that was something I decided through working at the letterpress print shop. I just kind of fell in love with the tactile quality and just, I love that it's old and that each card looks a little bit different and, you know, is super unique. But it is, the more colors you use on each card, the more expensive it can be. So keeping that tight color palette for me has enabled me to really keep a cohesive brand. You know, if I'm changing colors through every different card, that means they have to wash up the press. There's more setup time and I'm getting charged more because, you know, I'm not printing it myself. So that might fall into like, you know, my cost, overhead cost or whatever, if I'm doing it myself, but I'm just dishing out money to another company. So I'm going to try to be creative how I use colors and how I combine the different colors and use screens in my printing. So really utilizing few colors enables me to keep it tight. And then, you know, just pretty much every one of my cards is hand lettered. So that keeps it cohesive. I'm very inspired by nature, like I said, and plants. So just having that as like an overall theme throughout my work, I'm not really drawing like, you know, objects that actually exist in the real world. It's kind of more abstracted, nature-y elements. So, you know, just maintaining that chain of similar things throughout your product line will enable you to keep it really cohesive as well.
Absolutely. When we talk about this at Paper Camp, as you know, we talk about, you know, your color palette, using a consistent color palette, you choosing fonts that are consistent if you're not using your own hand lettering or something like that. You know, the aesthetic of what type of imagery and, you know, what your cards are portraying. I think that's all. And too, if somebody's not doing paper products, these are similar things to keep in mind if you're doing jewelry or candles or clothing or something
like
that.
Yeah. The other thing too, I like to remember as I'm making products is, you know, without being, you know, in a store, I'm not necessarily buy another one of my cards or have like a sign above anything that says Hartswell on it. So I want people to know by looking at that product, oh, Hartswell made this. And, you know, to have that product recognition is really an important part of, you know, growing your business and having people be able to recognize it. You know, a rifle card right away or like a Mowgli journal right away because of the style that they have. So keeping that in mind. And then also like even the printing technique that you're using, I do letterpress. Other people, you know, do screen printing or just flat digital printing or use a lot of foil. So keeping that similar too is really important.
Absolutely. I'm sitting here nodding my head yes ferociously. you have had a ton of growth over the last couple of years and your business has expanded in a lot of different ways. I mean, you're selling to stores internationally. You've got your online retail shop that you, you know, sell through, and you also do custom work. this is difficult. Like each of those avenues, each of those sales channels kind of require, it does require a different strategy, a different marketing outreach, you know, it requires different things from you. So how can you tell us a little bit about how you manage the day-to-day logistics of these different sales channels? Do you have certain days blocked off to handle wholesale stuff and then days for retail, or do you just kind of let your days be fluid?
You know, I would like to say I have a really strict schedule that I, you know, Mondays are wholesale days and Tuesdays are retail days, but my days are pretty fluid. Usually in the mornings, I'll start with checking emails and seeing if there are any fires I need to put out for my graphic design work clients. And I am trying to kind of go away from doing as much custom work and graphic design, but, you know, I love the clients that I work with and I'm able to supplement my income with that and grow my product line and, you know, do new releases because I'm doing that other side work.
Right.
So, you know, it's just about kind of prioritizing what needs to get done first, who orders products first, who, you know, some wholesale accounts will say, oh, you can mail this next week, or some say ASAP. So it's just about kind of organizing that and keeping it straight with who needs things first. And then retail, there's a lot more like paperwork kind of associated with accepting a wholesale order and just pulling everything, making sure all the packaging is right and getting it ready to send out. But retail, it's more automated through my website. So it's just about pulling and packing orders. So I'm just really doing that as I do wholesale as well.
Nice. Do you find yourself dedicating more time to one of these specific channels, or is it pretty even across the board?
As I've grown, it's become more wholesale based. That's kind of the direction I would like to continue to go. But like I said, the graphic design work helps to supplement all of that and has allowed me to stay debt free through everything. So, you know, I would say 70-30 right now, wholesale to graphic design, but I'd like to even further that dichotomy a little bit. So maybe 90-10 or 100-0 eventually, but
Well, and there's no right answer to that. I was more curious of how you flow, because, you know, everybody's needs and desires are different in terms of how they want their business structured. And I did all three for a long time too, and I just found it to be difficult to manage it because, as you mentioned, the custom work was great for margin, you know, it was good money, but it also did take quite a bit of my time. And so I don't know, it's hard. I think at the beginning too, we are more diversified and then we kind of hone in a little bit.
Right.
And then we try to figure out other ways to diversify as we get a little more. So it's kind of, you know, it's an ebb and flow sort of thing. For
Yeah. And I think when I was starting out just on my own, I was accepting every work I could get my hands on. And now I'm able to say no to more things and really take on the client work that I want and that I feel connected to. And, you know, the clients that are my friends or family, or, you know, people that are another small business owner in the area that I love their business and want to work with them. So yeah, it is definitely a balance, but it's nice to mix it up too and have, you know, be able to focus on one thing and kind of dive deep into a creative project once in a while, and then, you know, fill a bunch of orders. So
totally. I got to tell you that hearing you talk about how you have the ability now to say no to certain projects if you don't want to do them, or if you're not interested in them, that's a huge milestone that you should really be patting yourself on the back for. Because, and I'm being 100% sincere with you, because I was in the same boat where for a very long time I was kind of taking whatever work came my way just to keep things moving. Right. And I think once you get to a point a little bit further down in your business, you realize that's not smart. You realize that that's not a way to grow a sustainable long-term business. And you start to also appreciate the value of your time more. And so it's a milestone for sure as a business owner and an entrepreneur. And so kudos to you. I mean that with 100% sincerity.
Well, thanks. And I think going back to that, focusing on your why, I literally have a piece of tape on my computer that says, remember your why on it. So I'm looking at it every single day. But reminding myself of that is, you know, do I want to say yes to this project? Does it fit what I want for my why? And if the answer is no, then it's really easy to say no. If it's maybe, then, you know, maybe I'll take it on or do it another time. Or
yeah, I 100% agree with you. I mean, we have talked about, you know, finding your why several times on this podcast with different guests, but it is so, I think it bears repeating that it is so important to know the reasoning behind why you're running this business, why you started it to begin with, and why you want to continue doing it, because it does drive your decision making as an entrepreneur. And when you don't have a clear viewpoint of what that why is and what your motivations are, that's where you can find yourself kind of like floating through.
Just kind of drifting.
And it feels like a vulnerable space, you know, it leads to doubt, it leads to comparison because we start looking around at what everyone else is doing. And so I do agree. But the other thing I will say is sometimes your why changes, you know, what might be your priority right now. It's kind of like our definition of success, right? Like what our priority is right now and the reason behind what we're doing, it may shift as our life seasons change too. So
I don't know.
I think it's important to know what it is, but also to reevaluate what it is.
Yeah, that's a really great point to reevaluate, because I do think, like, you know, as people have kids or as their business grows or they hire somebody or they move into a new space or a new city, it's like you have to reevaluate. Okay, does this still make sense for me and what my life looks like now?
Yes, 100%. So I would love to know, what is something you've accomplished in your business over the last year that you're super proud of?
Okay, so in March of last year, I was invited to an event at Magnolia in West Palm Beach, Florida, in Waco, Texas. And, you know, being invited to that, so it was an event of roughly 100 vendors throughout the country that were invited to come sell our goods at Magnolia. And
so cool.
It was really cool. Just, you know, it's so well known, and little old me was invited. So it was a really cool thing. But even more cool than like being invited, which I was super honored to be invited, but just figuring out the logistical side of it, getting it, you know, I did learn so much about booth building at Trade Show Bootcamp that I used so many of those skills. Like I built this wooden structure to display all my items, and I figured out a way to like not use power tools and pull it apart so it, you know, could travel with me. And so just figuring all of that out and not having any major issues was a really proud moment for me.
That's awesome. So. That's really fun to hear. I'd love to see some photos of your space there too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what advice would you give to someone that is just starting out a product-based business, maybe not necessarily in stationery world, but just in general, they want to manufacture products that they design?
Okay. So this is going to be a long answer, I think. I love like talking about the why behind what you're doing and just helping people and encouraging them. But for the product side of it, if it's okay, I'll do like a two-parter for this one.
Sure,
a personal
of course.
And a product. So the personal one, or the product one, I'm sorry, would be, you know, just keep it cohesive and make sure that when somebody is pulling your product off a shelf, they can tell that it's yours right away. Like I said earlier in the interview, I think that's really my goal when I'm making stuff. But like I said, focus on what you want to say, what you want the vibe of your business to be, what your voice and your message to people, consumers, the world, like all around, like really just tap into that and make sure all of your products reflect that. A lot of, you know, I like to do earth friendly stuff. All of my paper is recycled. That's important to me. You know, other people would make sure their stuff is funny or, you know, whatever else their why is or what their intent is with their business, just to be focused with that and make sure that is at the heart of every product you make.
I love that. That's
and then
awesome.
I guess my personal one, this will be like the long one. So one of the things that I didn't really realize before I went into entrepreneurship was how difficult emotionally it would be on me and how hard it is. And I will preface all of this by saying I'm an emotional sensitive person. I know that it's taken 30 years for me to like come to terms with and be okay with the fact that I'm an emotional person. But I suspect that there are a lot of people in this industry that are also that way, which is probably why they're in this industry to begin with, to spread joy and love. And one thing, you know, I was working by myself in my home, which I still am, but I've gotten to know a lot of people in my community. But it can be very isolating when you're just starting out and you're alone a lot, maybe, or, you know, you just feel like you're not doing enough. And it's so easy to jump on social media and see somebody that's been in business for 10 years and you think, oh, I should be doing that. I should be at that level, you know, and just really beat yourself up. I think that's such an easy thing to do. So I would recommend not doing that and jump off that social media and like focus on your own plate. And, you know, it's great to know what other people in the industry are doing. And, you know, we all make similar products, but, you know, having your distinct voice within it is so important, and that will bring you success. I think if you're true to who you are and tap into what you are, you how what makes you unique as a person, and you know what you bring to the table that's uniquely you, and if you hone in on that and like make that come through in your products and in your business and in your life and just be authentic to who you are, that is the best advice I can give you, is just be you, really. I know it sounds cheesy and cliche, but like it is something I have to remind myself of constantly, to be confident in me, in my voice, in the way my products look, in the voice that I have, you know, everything. So I think it's really important to just be you.
I love that advice. And I love that you offered both advice on the product development side as well as the personal side, because you're right. Running businesses, it's taxing. It's emotional and it's mentally draining. And I was talking with somebody on a different podcast episode that I was interviewed for about decision fatigue, and just as entrepreneurs, how much of our day is spent researching and analyzing and making decisions. Mm-hmm. And it's just so taxing. And you're right. Many people are alone. And so finding your community, finding that place where you can, you know, ask the hard questions and get the hard answers and, you know, just to feel like you've got somebody else there is so important. So thank you for sharing that.
Sure. Yeah.
So what's next for Heartswell? What do you got coming up?
Well, I have some exciting news. I just signed a lease to have a studio outside of my home. I just did it today. So I'm super excited.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. So that's a huge step for me. I'm like exploding out of my little beach bungalow home here. we have a lot of guests come from Pennsylvania, where we're from, to stay with us, and we like don't have room. So it's really nice to get out of the house and just have that separation. So I'm looking forward to that. And I love interior design. That's a huge part of my business as well, like through my social media, just styling and designing our home and other spaces. So that will be a fun project for me to work on, making that an inviting and welcoming space and inspiring space to work in.
Oh, I'm sure it's going to be beautiful. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I'm really excited. It has lots of light, which I love. It's already white, which I would paint it white anyways. So I'm really excited.
Ah, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, where can people find you online if they want to check out your products or eventually see your space that you're moving into when you're ready?
Well, my website is heartswellco.com. And then you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at heartswellco.
Excellent. We'll link that in the show notes too for anyone interested. Well, Renee, thank you so much for joining me today. This was a lot of fun and it was great to hear your story. So thank you for sharing it.
Thank you so much for having me. It was such a fun day.
All right. I am hearing a ton of feedback from people that are struggling with things like cash flow, hiring help, or they're looking for new revenue streams to layer into their existing business model. Well, this summer, I hosted a live event that was specifically for our TSBC alumni to help them scale and strengthen their businesses. This program was called Paper Camp Plus, but what we talked about went way beyond the paper industry. PaperCamp Plus was built for anyone running a small business who wants to refine their business operations so that they're working smarter and not harder. This content was way too good to hoard to ourselves and the 30 people that were in the room. So we're bringing PaperCamp Plus to you in an on-demand format, and it's available now for you to enroll. You can watch all 7 videos in one swoop, or you can pick and choose programs based upon what you need help with right now. Our speakers included Tanya Dalton of Inkwell Press, Kristen Lay from Thimble Press, Amber McHugh, Raina Pomeroy, and Mary Beth Storjahan. We talked about building better systems, cloning ourselves so that we can get more done in a day, how to manage our money and save for retirement, licensing and collaborations, as well as real talk about fear and confidence. If you are struggling with any of these things, head over to tradeshowcamp.com and look for the Paper Camp Plus on demand. Or you can find the link here in our show notes too. But running a small business is not easy, and you don't have to go it alone. We have solutions and resources to help you get ahead. Join us at tradeshowcamp.com, then click on Paper Camp Plus to enroll. Proof to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt. Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them uplevel, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at prooftoproduct.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.